Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Palanquin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by YakGadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to YakGadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to Pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153angler.com. So join with me as together we dive into the tips and techniques that will help make us better anglers out on the water. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment here on Paddle and Fin. I am your host, Sean Lavery. Tonight's special guest, we're bringing him back on the Noob Show. He was on before, back when Ryan was with me, and we talked a little bit about the Stupid Tube. It has since become Ryan's favorite lure. So, Ryan, I'm sorry, but I just had to let everyone know. He's probably going to message me and be pretty angry about that, but no, he's good. He's good. But he does love throwing the Stupid Tube. I think it's his new favorite. But I'd like to welcome back to the Noob Show, Mr. Matt Gibson. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man. It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me.
I had a kind of a memory blank there when I was chatting with you before the show. And usually I can tell from my instant messenger chats and stuff when I've had someone on before and stuff. But anyway, it's good to have you back on. It's been a while. I've actually fallen in love with the Stupid Tubes as well. I just got some of the Stupid Crawls, placed a pretty big order for some jigs and some of the plastics too. And
yeah.
So definitely loving them as well. It's working great for me on the river. So
yeah, that crawl is awesome too. Like if you're looking for like a little skipping bait, to fish docks with, that thing, it skips amazing. So, it's really good bait.
And, sure. And you had recommended, checking out the kind of seconds or like the, and I gotta definitely thank you for that too. Cause they are really, it's hard to tell that they're seconds at all, and you get a huge bag of them,
Danny down there at Secret Lures, I tell you what, he's got some very, very high quality standards, and like you said, it'll be the craziest thing, like the dot, the rigging dot just is in the right spot, and he'll put it on, he'll just toss it to the side. So
yeah, I think I got the ones that are penny color or copper penny color, and the smallmouth love them, far on the river. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yep.
Yeah. But, before we get into tonight's topic, for those of you guys who missed the show on the Stupid Tube, I'll let Matt kind of introduce himself, let you guys know where he's from and kind of how you got started in fishing.
Sure. Yeah. Here in central Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. I grew up about another hour north of here, so kind of in a pretty dead zone as far as good fisheries.
Which is kind of impressive for the amount of good fishermen you have in that area.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, Jacob Wheeler, there's a bunch of great anglers from Indiana in this area. And yeah, it's kind of a desert out here as far as good lakes. We're not far enough south to have some of those good lakes down there, and we're definitely not far enough north here to really get into those glacier lakes. So we have to travel a little bit for a really good fishery. Now the White River is right in my backyard, so it's hard to be bummed about that because man, it's a tremendous fishery. So, but cool. Yeah, I'm here in central Indiana. I've been fishing, my whole life. I can't remember a time where I haven't had a rod and reel and been thinking about fishing. And it's something I think about daily, even in my quote-unquote real job. I just sit and think about fishing all day. So,
Glad I'm not the only one. And you're also pretty involved with New Canoe, right?
Yes, I'm a regional director for the Great Lakes region here. I'm also one of the tournament directors with Indiana Kayak Anglers. Cool. We're lucky enough to have a really good group of guys. And you mentioned great fishermen. We have some absolute stud sticks when it comes to kayak fishing, too.
We just talked to Jackson Orr last week.
And he's one of them. He has taken plenty of my money, let me tell you. we have like Jackson. I mean, there's Aiden Darlington and Nick Matthews. And even some of our us, quote unquote, older guys. we like to mix it up out there a little bit, too. But we got a really good group of guys in the state here, and we're super fortunate.
I imagine that makes for some pretty stiff competition in some of your events too.
It can. Yeah. Yeah. They can be very, very tough events and it makes everybody a better fisherman.
I was just going to say, you get better from going up against the best. So
that's right. That's right.
And most of the guys, those guys you mentioned also would, definitely help you and help you out and, teach you what they know too. So that's got to be a plus too. So,
yep. It's awesome. Great community.
Cool. Well, kind of the topic that, you kind of approached me with tonight, and it really piqued my interest because it is something that, I've gotten, more confidence in this year, mainly due to buying a technique specific rod. Tonight we're going to talk about, crankbaits, but balsa crankbaits specifically. And crankbaiting was one thing that Ryan had, he spent a time, he kind of goes in seasons, and during his crankbait season, he was telling me, he's like, oh, you got to try this, man. And at that point, I had thrown a crankbait a few times, but never had any luck. I had trouble keeping them down where I wanted them to be, but I was never throwing them on the best rod. And then after talking to Ryan about that, I bought just a, I went on, I think I bought one off a gentleman on Craigslist or something. It was a Cass King. It's not even a super expensive rod, but it's a Cass King crankbait rod, a specific crankbait rod. And when I got that rod, it was a night and day difference on it from anything I ever threw before. And it just started to click, and I started to catch fish, and it kept them pegged, and it was amazing. But so yeah, how did you get into throwing around balsa crankbaits, and what kind of drew you to those?
So, I mean, it's going to sound a lot like the Secret Lures podcast or the Stupid Tube podcast, but it's a very regional thing. The Ohio River Valley, so just south of me, and Tennessee area, Ottawa, guys like that, like fishing can be very tough on the Ohio River. So it's very tough to get bites. So guys were making balsa baits out of the garage, still make them out of the garage. But what's great about balsa to me is its buoyancy. I'm a shallow water fisherman. If I stick my rod on the side of my kayak and I can't touch bottom, I feel a little out of place. Like, I really like power fishing and fishing shallow. So that the action of it, you think about it, like a KBD 1.5 crankbait is probably one of the most popular crankbaits out there. Fish have seen a ton of those in their lifetime.
Right.
So they've seen that action. They understand that, they've seen it. Balsa. What's a little bit unique about it is it's pretty lifelike. One of the great things about balsa is you'll get one and it'll run true, and then it'll dart off and it'll come back, and you just keep like, and that's just reeling it. That's just winding. It'll go off
straight and retrieve. Back. Right.
Yep. It's called hunting. And balsa is extremely great at that. But then also kind of another great thing about balsa is how it comes through wood. It comes through cover extremely well. Guys, I would challenge almost anyone out there to throw a KVD or a plastic square bill in somewhere versus a balsa, you're probably not going to get hung up with the balsa if you work it right through there. And you can throw in some really, really surprisingly thick, nasty wood cover and come right through it.
Okay. And what characteristics help that? Like what's it doing down there that's different than like a plastic ruler?
Yeah. So here's one. So it's the buoyancy of it. So it rises, but then also kind of the way it runs too. Okay. You see a circuit board lip on it there. Probably one of the greatest balsa fishermen around, Bill Lowen. He calls these baby dump trucks. and that's exactly like that's a perfect way to explain it. You can reel these through about anything. So that's what's attracted to balsa, but also just the craftsmanship. Like these things are works of art. Even some of the quote unquote larger guys that are making balsa baits, they're not all exactly the same.
Right.
And honestly, I've got a whole bunch of baits in front of me right here. And just looking at them, I have baits that I fish. And then I also have baits that I collect.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've got kind of both. But yeah, balsa is just awesome. It's awesome to fish with. It's good when it's tougher conditions, and it's good for pressure conditions as well.
I'm guessing there's obviously different ranges, like depth ranges and stuff like that. Is it hard to get a balsa wood deep or a balsa crankbait deep, or, you know,
it can be, you know, there are some out there designed now that, you know, Phil at PH Custom, he makes one that goes like 12 or 16 foot. It's got a pretty big bill on it.
Okay.
Like this one right here is like a, you know, that'll go about 6 foot.
Okay.
On a decent cast.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you start winding some of these bigger baits, and these actual true square bills around. And, I mean, you're getting, you know, somewhere between the, you know, anywhere from basically 0 to about 3 foot.
Okay. I'm kind of like you. I prefer to stay shallow. I'm definitely not an offshore fisherman. I like, you know, having a good idea where I am, what's under me and stuff, and the shallower I am, the easier it is to tell that. So,
then right away I can tell, because your weather is kind of similar to mine. I think, you know, we get, you know, those kind of cold winters. I still like to fish in the winter and early spring, but me personally, I don't like throwing like a lipless crankbait, or it doesn't fit my style very well.
Okay.
Or fishing deep. So what I can do is I can still go power fish with something like that. It's called a Lowen's dollar bill. And it's a flat. So, flat sided bait. So early in the year and late in the year, this right here, it still allows me to go power fish. So I can go fish, like, you know, fish will still relate to deeper water, shallower water. So I'm kind of catching them in that transition, and something like that. It's got a nice tight wobble to it, but this one's got a little bit more thump than typical flat-sided baits. So, like, flat-sided, colder water, like, it is tough to beat a flat-sided balsa bait.
I'm definitely going to have to try that, because that's when I definitely kind of got skunked a ton trying to fish in the colder weather this year. And I was trying all the cold weather things you hear about all the time, like hair jigs and spoons and stuff, and I just wasn't having much luck, but...
And it gets frustrating out there, and you know, it's tough. So like that was a Lowen dollar bill. This is, and these are all just tools. That's how I look at all these balsa baits, is just tools. This is actually, one thing that people will kind of get hung up on is the price of balsa, and it's well-deserved. Like there's over 40 steps in making one of these baits. Very labor intensive. You know, it's not like these are made in a factory in China
where they're, I was going to say, it's a lot of handcrafted work.
Right. So like anything in the pH line and you know, like Laser Lures is another big manufacturer of, or another really good manufacturer, not big, but a really good manufacturer of flat baits. You're looking at that $20 to $25 range.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a little bit cheaper bait. It's still balsa. It's just not hand tuned from pH. And it's called a W2, and it's in the old school line. And this one right here is, you know, roughly about 10 or 11 bucks. So
okay.
That's really, okay. Really not that much different than a Strike King or a, I know I keep on picking on Strike King, but they're the only ones I can think of right now, like a Lucky Craft even, or any of those larger manufacturers. And it again, it's a flat sided bait. And it's hand painted. It's a dynamite bait for, like, if I was going fishing tomorrow, this is definitely one I'm taking.
Okay. And you said that was the W2 from PH Custom Line?
Yep. So about 6 to 8-ish.
Okay. Cool. What was I just going to say? After we're done here, I might have to get you to send me some links to some of these so I can include them in the show notes. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, folks can track them down pretty easy because, you know, some of these, you know, are, you know, I've heard of PH before. I think reading through your Facebook, I saw a bunch of stuff. So
yeah,
definitely seemed like a cool place, but some of these might not be as well known to everyone. So
yeah, like that's a Laser Lure. Okay. He's another great guy. It's a flat side. Last that I knew, he's got literally like a sign up sheet on his website, and you go through and you pick out what colors you want and you ship it to him. Wow. And then he calls you for payment. I mean, so there's still some pretty small guys building balsa baits.
That's cool. And you know, it's a labor of love at that point, because when, you know, they're still, you know, working to make it exactly how you want it, then, you know, it's almost like an art project. So
it is,
you know,
it is.
And I guess that's where the collecting side of it comes in too, because I'm sure collectible ones, you know, are probably pretty.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, like, not to get completely off track here, but the history of balsa, you know, it started off with like an old Bagley's lure. And like, that's basically where a lot of this started. And then the guys started making them in their garages. And unfortunately, balsa is one of those fading skills that's dying. There's not very many younger people into balsa. And there's not that many manufacturers popping up at all, because they are tough to make. Like this one right here, that's a Wee Bait. And unfortunately, the owner of Wee Baits, he just passed away. But these baits, they're awesome. It's kind of hard to see the color a little bit, but
right.
They are labors of love. There's no doubt that they really, really put their hearts into building these things.
And you know, that line is probably, if he didn't pass on Hal his process, then that's probably, you know, the last of that kind.
And what's cool about it is guys, so Wes England was his name.
Okay. And I think I've heard that name before.
He's around the Cincinnati area is kind of where he was at. But what's cool about that too is, like, Phil at PH Custom Lures, I've known Phil for a very long time. Very, very nice guy, very knowledgeable. But he has been able to tap into these guys and talk to, like, you know, a Wes England. And then, you know, Wes would ask him for things. And then it's just a big knowledge share. Like you know, Rick at Laser Lures, they all help each other. Because, like I said, unfortunately, it's a dying art. And that's really, for me, where the collecting came from, is I want to have some of this stuff around.
Right.
So,
makes me want to give it a try just to kind of, you know, keep it going, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately, I have trouble swinging a hammer, so you know, you give me tools and it's a bad thing. But, yeah. But my brother-in-law is super good with wood. He's built his own kayak and does chainsaw carving and all sorts of stuff. So I might have to, you know, kind of see if I can pique his interest into this. But
yeah, yep.
Cool. So, any of the other ones there on that you wanted to kind of go over, or I want to talk about what you throw these on and kind of, you know, what, you know, your techniques and stuff are, but,
yeah, I mean, honestly, most people I talk to, when they think about balsa, they think like a square bill, just a standard square bill, but man, this is a tiny hunter. That's a great bait. With great color. So it's a downsized version. So you can really downsize it if you want to. We were talking about a KVD 1.5, but this is like a 2.0 version.
Okay.
Man, they come in all kinds of sizes, and I'm a little bit hesitant of talking about this one, to be honest. The little guy right here, made by PH.
It's a like flat side. Yeah.
It's a flat side with a little bit of a square lip. This thing catches them all year long, but in the fall, this thing, like right now too, on the river, anywhere, it's a small plug. I mean, it's named correctly. It's little, but it's a tremendous bait.
Bill Schultz would say that, you know, a lot of times littler is better for smallmouth.
He
swears up and down that the smaller profile baits are, you know, better. So
yeah, I mean, that's like an Andrew Dixon right there, a guy from Florida. That's a really small bait. Like that's a micro.
Okay. Some of those would you throw on like spinning rod, or is that you still throwing that on a casting
rod? A lot of times I'll throw it on a casting rod, but I mean I'm not scared to throw it on a spinning rod. Like when it gets super super cold, and I just feel like my dexterity is a little lacking sometimes. you know, even with like that WT that I showed you, I'll go to a spinning rod and throw it on it. Just because it's easier to manage at that point.
Right.
So.
Well, while we're on that topic, like what is your normal setup for throwing these?
The rod stays the same. I've got a Douglas rod and it's a blended rod. About a third glass on the tip. And then, so it's a composite rod. And I've really, really enjoyed throwing that this year. You know, 12-pound fluorocarbon seems to be just fine for, you know, if I want to throw a flat side or a square bill. It's a little light for square bill probably. And that really, really thick stuff, you might want to bump up to 14 or 17 at that point where you don't really care about depth. But me personally, I don't like to change my line a whole lot. Line's not cheap, so
right.
You know,
especially if you're running straight fluoro,
right? Yes. And so 12-pound for that. I have played around with mono a little bit, especially in the winter, and mono is okay too. Don't be ashamed to grab you some 12 or 14-pound mono and start cranking too. In some situations, it actually helps you a little bit. So and then I really like a slower reel, like a 6-3-1. If I'm crankbaiting, I don't go any higher than. And there are times where I'll drop down to like a 5-4-1 or 5-3-1 if I need to.
I was going to say,
I have trouble slowing down. I don't know about you. Like there's some guys that can talk themselves into slow and way down. I can't do that for very long.
I'm similar too. I even though I think I'm doing it, and then you know, lose concentration, and then as soon as I realize, I'm like, man, that's wobbling a lot. I'm like, oh, I'm reeling way too fast, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And another tip for somebody that's just getting into crankbaiting, you know, it's fine to go down a bank and just wind it. But a lot of these baits, like if you'll hear balsa in the word worming a lot together.
Okay.
And what that means is you throw it out there. You see like a lay down, you'll throw it out there. You'll reel it to that lay down. And right before you get to that lay down, like the baits, you know, bait's traveling along and it's getting right here. Okay. Stop reeling completely and just pull it like this, like almost like a Carolina rig is the best way I can describe it. And just pull it. And that is the magic of balsa. And that is when you get a lot of bites that way.
Interesting.
I mean, even with a flat side bait, a lot of times I'll reel it till I feel something, like if I feel the bottom or something. And then if you just lightly just pull, and you can still feel that, and then just reel the slack in and then just pull it. You'll catch a lot of fish doing it that way too, versus just straight winding.
And I know, we talked a little about how these are a little more expensive baits, but like you said, if they do come through cover better, then, you know, that's not as big of a concern because you're getting it back. You know, you're not going to hang up as much. And from somebody who's probably lost at least half a dozen to a dozen 1.5s on the river this year, definitely could do for something that doesn't hang up as much. So,
yeah, it can get frustrating out there too. And yeah, I mean, you just have to, balsa's a little bit different animal. You'll feel the difference. These baits, some of these baits, with the square bills, they thump really hard. And you'll feel a lot. Sometimes you'll even feel the fish kind of push it a little bit, before they strike it. Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Are they mostly silent, or are they, you know, how do they, I guess they hollow them out, or how do they do that?
There are some that have rattles in them. I don't think I have any out of all my baits. I don't think I have any rattling. Yeah, I do. I have some old Bagleys that are rattling, but for the most part, they're silent.
Okay. And it's just the wobble that you're going off of then, probably appealing to like the lateral line and that kind of thing.
Yep. And you're really looking for that kind of, they swim very, very natural. You know, if you're out there and you look at bait fish never just swim straight. You know, you'll see them even in schools, you'll see them bump up and bump out and side to side.
They track in vectors almost.
Yep, exactly. And that's kind of what balsa does. It kind of does it for you. You just keep winding on and you'll feel it, and then it'll feel like it's going way to the left or right, and then it comes right back.
Now, I've heard the term tuning a crankbait. Is that something you do with those as well?
Honestly,
they're already pretty good, and
for the most part, they're pretty good. Any of the pH line that you buy, he hand tunes those.
Okay.
Before he puts them in the box. So I don't know if I have one here. That's pretty straight. Something I hear a lot of people comment on. Well, here's a good example. If it'll show up good. On the tie itself, you see how it's not perfectly straight? See how it's bent slightly? Yep. That's because that bait is tuned.
Okay.
That's not a manufacturing defect. That's him actually tuning that bait for you.
Gotcha.
Now Rick's baits, they come, I don't know that he tunes them, but they come through pretty daggone well too. But that line tie is really where you want to make your adjustments if needed. You know, mentioned the old school line. The old school line from PH does not, they're not tuned, but it's very easy to do. And honestly, I know he says he doesn't tune them, but looking at them and when the way they swim, I think he might be tuning them too. They're not advertised as that. And he says that he doesn't tune them, but man, they come pretty daggone good as far as coming straight. So,
well, that's helpful too, because I'm sure there's an art to that as well. And maybe, you know, I always thought you were tuning them to run straight, but it sounds like you're tuning them to actually have some of that erratic kind of trailing action or, you know.
Yeah, cracking. You don't want it laying on its side, but like a ball spate, you know, you wind it a little bit and it comes at you straight, and it, all of a sudden it veers off and it comes back to you. That's perfect. One of the beauties of balsa. I mean, that bait right there is one you definitely want to hold on to. So.
And that's cool. So that's good to know, like, you know, because, you know, something that you can fish right out of the package. Same with hooks. I'm sure usually with custom lures like that, you know, they're going to put some pretty good hardware on them, you know.
Yeah. So
generally that's not something you have to worry about swapping out or anything.
Exactly. It you know, with a lot of the larger brands, you know, they're not even sure what hooks they're running at some point. You know, they're buying big batches of them, and they're just whatever is in the next box. These, I mean, Phil, any of the manufacturers, any of the guys that build balsa, they know exactly what hooks are on there, what brands they are, snap rings, like everything. They know exactly what's going into that bait.
Same, yeah. And I remember, I'm trying to think who I heard talking on the final cast segment about even selecting the plastic that the bills are made out of. You know, the circuit board plastic seems to be popular now, and definitely that I've seen, you know, some of the big brands, you know, where the bill just breaks right off. And
yeah,
you know, so when you're even when they're selecting that, or you know, the different hardware that they use, they can be super, you know, picky about it, knowing that it, you know, you're producing a superior product.
Right. Yeah, like I said, you know, I know Phil's process is over 40 steps to make one bait. So, it very, very labor intensive.
But then just the fact that a lot of those you can, you know, kind of, you know, let them know what colors you're looking for. Like, I know I'm super partial to the chartreuse with the black back, and I've seen a lot of really, really pretty ones with different patterns where they'll like lay mesh over it and spray over top of that mesh and give it a really cool scale pattern. Yeah, that's they can get so beautiful. It almost makes you want to not throw it.
Cause, I know. Yeah. So foil is a very popular one that they'll use. That one's kind of hard to see, but foil. And then you know, a great hand painted paint job over the top of those, and then. Don't think about it, but the clear coat on it matters too. And that's an art form in itself, because you get these baits and they don't feel thick, if that makes sense. You know, it doesn't feel you know, you run your hands across the table sometimes that has some finish on it and it feels kind of thick and just odd. These don't feel like that at all.
Right. But yet they're durable. Like you know, you can bash them off stuff a lot of times and do okay. Whereas, you know, some of those plastic ones, you smack it hard enough and it's going to come back in pieces.
Yep. I will tell you, whatever you do with balsa, do not slap it on the water to get weeds off of it.
That is a good tip.
Will break it 9 times out of 10.
That would make you cry, I think.
Yes.
Yes. I do have a very bad habit of doing that.
Yep. And once you start fishing balsa, that habit goes away. I can tell you. And yeah, I mean, up against rock, yeah, you know, you can start getting a little rash on them. Like that one has a little bit of rash on it on the back, and you can actually see the balsa. Guys get freaked out about that. And I can tell you that I've caught a ton of fish off of baits that there's hardly any paint left on them.
No.
I just grabbed some clear fingernail polish and put it right over top and I'm good to go.
Okay. I have a popper that is completely worn down. Like it's not, it was at one point in time, it was shiny and silver, and it is, I think there's a tiny bit of silver left on it, but it still gets hammered. So.
Yep.
Cool. Well, so, all right. So we talked line and we talked rods. I know you said you like to throw the, you know, you talked about throwing them in the cold. Any other like instances where you're going to be like, oh, this looks perfect, like a perfect spot to throw a balsa crankbeam?
Yeah. So what I think probably the best way to kind of talk about it is seasonal.
Okay.
So like when I first start in the year, I definitely want a flat sided bait. So even within a flat sided bait, like these look very similar.
Oops, except for paint. Them both on there? Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they look
pretty close, right?
Right.
This one here is a dollar bill, and it's got more thump to it. So I will start with this.
Okay.
Super, super cold out and wind with it. And then I, you know, if I notice the fish are just kind of just like slapping at it or not, you know, not eating it very well, then I'll go back to that W2 that has less vibration and less thump to it.
Okay.
And then kind of going from there, you know, once they start moving up and fish are kind of starting to set up a little bit, like the little guy. So something starting to get a little bit square billish to it. And then, you know, running, you know, like a 1.5 or a 2.0. I mean, that's prime time to go do that. You know, you need to get up there and you need to fish that kind of stuff.
Are the flat sided more generally like a tighter wobble or?
Yeah. And that's exactly why you throw them at that time of year. It's a much tighter wobble, like you said. I mean, you kind of equate it to like a lipless, you know, lipless crankbaits don't do this, you know, they're very, very tight. And that's why they catch fish in really cold water.
Gotcha.
And kind of that same theory goes with balsa. So as the water warms up, you'll kind of step up your quote unquote thumping of your crankbait.
You'll switch to the more rounded ones that have the wider wobble and
yeah.
Okay.
A fatter body on it.
Gotcha.
This right here, this is a P1. And if you want to fish cover, once you get into the dog days of summer, you know, a lot of guys like to go and flip and pitch really heavy cover. Do the same thing with balsa.
Interesting. That's definitely something I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. Those same spots. So guys like Kevin Short, he's a master at it. He's got some great videos and I've learned so much from him. And also, like I said, Bill Lowen. He's a master with a square bill and a balsa bait. So you know, as it warms up, you want to get, you know, go and throw that square bill. And then kind of once they, you know, in the summertime, once they start fading away a little bit, you know, if they get on like a bluegill bite, you know, I just change up my pattern to a bluegill. And then once you start getting towards the tail end of that, actually, you know, a lot of people put away those flat sides like the dollar bill for the rest of the year. But man, you can catch a lot of fish going out on like weed lines and throwing that. Okay. It's just something different the fish haven't seen. So you can kind of follow them out there with that, and then start following them out just like you did, you know, in the winter, flip it to the fall. And you know you're back throwing a flat side of bait into the winter and through the winter.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to try because I really one of my goals for this year, I always like to set some goals, and one of my goals was to catch a fish every month, and I didn't catch my first fish until March. Oh. And it wasn't for lack of trying.
Yeah,
I was out when, you know, as long as the water wasn't frozen, I was out almost every weekend wearing my dry suit, freezing my butt off. Throwing a spoon and throwing a hair jig, you know, and yeah. So I'm anxious to try that for sure.
Yep. And you just, you know, and then you know, you can get into throwing like wake bait styles too. So, you know, it's got a very, very steep bill angle on it. So it's going to stay way up in the water column.
I know I mentioned to you before the show, Witty Outdoors, and you said they might not be balsa. They are custom made, but
and they're wood of some sort.
Yeah. And like he has the 0.5s and they're all but a wake bait, you know, they're
yeah.
a real short little stubby kind of real fat.
Yep.
So I just started playing around with those a little bit. I just threw one. I actually lost one of my 1.5s, the only one I had with me at the dime, and I had that one in my tackle box. So I tied it on right at dark. I was just like probably, you know, 20 feet from where I take my kayak out, and I'm like, well, I'm going to throw something. And I threw it, and Smalley hit it like right in like a foot and a half of water. It was
nice. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, and there's top water baits too that are wood baits. Because again, wood is very buoyant, so it's pretty easy to make a top water bait out of wood.
Right. I'm sure the original, you know, top water baits were probably all, you know, that kind of wood, you know,
before yeah.
the great plastic kind of took over everything, but.
And that's what's cool too. A lot of the Balsa guys, that, you know, they remember that history, and they'll recreate some of those baits,
right?
Some of those legendary baits, like a devil horse. You hear that being used down in Florida. Well, I can tell you here in Indiana, it catches them too. Like that's one of the first things I pick up when we've had a few consecutive days of warmth and those fish are pushing shallow. They'll eat a top water, and that's kind of where I go is something like that. So yeah, generational lures. It's kind of cool.
Oh yeah. I that's one of the things I like to do. Kind of what I've been collecting is my wife likes to go to yard sales. So sometimes I'll tag along and you find all sorts of cool old baits that, you know, you can definitely see where the newer baits came from, you know?
Absolutely.
And you know, a lot of the designs are timeless, you know. If they worked back then, they're going to work now. Not that I throw a lot of them, but I like displaying them and stuff like that. So,
well, keep your eye out for Balsa, because I'm sure there's some Balsa baits out there that you've seen and are around. And some of them they can be worth a lot of money, but they're awesome pieces of art. And I mean, you can pick up a Balsa bait and you can almost tell immediately just by how light it is.
Right. That was what I was going to say. Usually, you know, the times I have actually held them, you know, that was the first thing I noticed was how, you know, you can almost instantly tell this is the Balsa. So,
yep.
I'm curious what the process looks like. I'd love to see them being made too, because the only Balsa I ever worked with is like the sheets of it, the real thin sheets. So,
these come in sticks. The really good Balsa guys that I know, they actually pay to get it graded and make sure that it's good quality Balsa.
Okay.
So, you know, it's good wood, good product. So,
right. I'm sure that you have to be a little selective, you know.
Yeah.
Your Home Depot brand Balsa probably isn't exactly what you're looking for.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Anything else? Any other tricks or tips that you can think of that you'd want to, if you were, you know, just taking somebody out throwing a Balsa crankbait for the first time, anything you would kind of have them do, or, you know.
Don't be scared to get it hung up, because you're not going to, you know, it's not going to happen. And once you figure out that worming deal that we kind of talked about, once you get that figured out, it can open up even more bites for you and bigger bites too. You know, just go out and have fun with it and don't just go down a bank and wind. I mean, Lee Sison is one of the godfathers of Balsa baits, and you know, he actually has tuned some of his baits for if he's fishing a dock to actually go underneath the dock. You know, he'll throw it down the side and let it come, and he's actually tuned it to where it'll go. Like, just have fun with it. I mean, that's what it's all about anyways. And, once you learn that worming technique and you kind of feel it and you see it and you get bit on it, you'll really fall in love with Balsa.
That sounds awesome. Sounds like, you know, something you like, totally a confidence booster. Once you, when you really know exactly what a bait's doing and you know what is going to draw a strike, you know, and it sounds like something too that you can follow up behind people that are throwing, you know, plastic KVDs and catch them right out behind them, because it's going to be something that looks different and it's something that's A, more natural, but B, also, you know, not like everything else they've seen, you know, from every boat that's passing by. So
and let me tell you something, there's some really big names that I'm not gonna call out here that often call some bait manufacturers that I know. So
I was just gonna say it's probably a well kept secret
by some
of those big name guys, but
yeah. Like, and if you're looking for guys that for more advice, I'm an open book. I'll tell you everything I know about balsa. I'll help you with lure selection, whatever you want to talk about. You know, anybody out there, feel free to reach out to me on my Facebook page or however you can get a hold of me. But there is a wealth of information too from guys like Bill Lowen, Matt Heron, Ott Defoe. Those guys really dabble heavily in this. Bill Lowen has an insane collection of baits, and is one of Phil Hunt's best friends. And here's a little crawdad balsa bait that they came out with. They know balsa, and they understand the power of balsa.
That one excites me too, because I've thrown the Rebel Crawl on the river, and that's like when you come to the Susquehanna and ask people what crankbaits they throw, I've heard that so many times. Oh, I throw the Rebel Crawl. So if you have something that's similar to that but a little bit different, I think that would be money.
This thing thumps. Like it gets it. It's in the rivers around here, it's really good.
So. And who makes that?
That's actually PH.
Okay,
and that's it's called a dollar bill crawdad.
Okay, that's the dollar bill in crawl. Okay, cool. All right. Well, you mentioned, you know, having the folks reach out to you and ask you questions. Where can they kind of track you down if they want to?
Yeah. So Facebook, Matt Gibson, and then Instagram, it's Matt A. Gibson. I will do everything I can to answer any questions you guys have, and I'm by no means a complete expert with balsa, but I do know the expert, so we'll get you an answer.
that's good to have that kind of connections to.
It is.
That's pretty sweet. And like I said, guys, I will get the information on some of these baits from Matt and make sure that that goes in the show notes, like in the post for the show. I know if you've already helped me catch a ton more fish on the stupid tube, so I can't wait to see the numbers that I add with this technique too. So, I can't thank you enough for just helping me individually to improve my fishing. So
that's what it's all about, man. I'm really glad I've helped you a little bit along the way. And yeah, it's when bites are tough, balsa shines, and then also. In just terrible weather conditions, when it's cold, balsa shines. So don't be scared to get out there and throw it. I understand it's a higher price point. You get a lot of quality with the baits, but also look at, like I said, Phil's old school line. Those are $10 to $14 lures. That's the same as many plastic lures.
And I was going to say, if you had to pick just one to start with, do you know what your go-to would be?
I'd be a dollar bill.
Okay. A Lowen's dollar bill, right? How do you spell the Lowen's part? L-O-W-E-N-S?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, cool.
So it'd be that one, and then I would throw a tiny hunter in there too. So just a really small. Those would be the two. And then if you let me have three, it would be the little guy.
Okay.
Like the little guy catches them almost all year too. So,
cool.
But the dollar bill is really one that's really in adverse weather conditions and conditions where, like you were talking about, where guys are throwing hair jigs and you know, really, real, really tiny jigs and, you know, like float and fly and stuff like that.
Yep.
Oh man, that's tough for me to do. And with the low end, between the low end and the W2, it's made cold water fishing much more enjoyable for me.
Interesting. That definitely sounds good because it's hard to cover water with some of those other techniques.
You don't even know if you're in the right spots.
Exactly. And that has been my biggest question. Like I feel like I'm wasting my time 90% of the time. Awesome. Anything else? Anything? Any sponsors or anything you want to shout out?
I'm been fortunate enough to be working with Douglas Rods. They make an excellent rod. I know that you've heard plenty about that. But man, the quality of those rods are great. Vicious Line, that's another Indiana company. You know, they've got some really good fluorocarbon, so check them out. Great fluorocarbon and great mono at a really good and fair price. PH Custom Lures, Phil, I mean, he feeds my addiction here with balsa. Just looking at it, I can't believe how many balsa baits I have. until I lay them all out on one table. So definitely Phil, you know, Danny down at Secret Lures. It's great. Another great guy, down in that Ohio River region down there. And then, New Canoe and Bending Branches. I always appreciate the support from them as well.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on. A wealth of knowledge as usual. You know, I can't wait to get out on the water and put some of these things to use for sure. There'll be some balsa purchases in the future.
Awesome.
Much to my wife's dismay, but you know.
I know. I gotta keep on looking over my shoulder and make sure my wife doesn't pop in here. Because I'm like, oh my goodness. So
all right, man. Well, thanks again. Everyone, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin Network, where we teach you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. Tune in next time, guys, and thanks, God.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.